God save now. Since we repent now. The Lord and the fullness thereof from the world of the dead and dwelling. Who shall ascend into the hills of the Lord and who shall stand in his holy place? Whoever clean hands and a pure heart who then lift up his soul to vanity and our soul deceitfully. Lord of mercy. I say, yeah. I say, hear me now. Yeah. I say, yeah. I say, hear me now. Yeah. No, 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 no. Since we repent now, since we get saved now, since we repent now, since we get saved now, this we used to go way down, got them no more. Things we used to do way down, do them no more. Friends I used to keep way down, keep them no more. Things I used to say way down, say them no more. Salvation, you know it's safe and secure. Jesus Christ, I and I, we adore. In them we excel every day, we are sore. Read the Bible and we feel so sure we get saved. La 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 la. Since we get saved now, since we repent now. Friends I used to keep, we can't keep them no more. Things I used to do, we're down to them no more. Place we used to go, we're down to them no more.
Fire!
Now the earth is the Lord and the full of spirit from the world of dead and dwelling. Who shall ascend into the hills of the Lord and who shall stand in his holy place? Whoever clean hands and a pure heart who then lift up his soul to vanity and our soul deceitfully. Lord of mercy. I say yeah, I say hear me now, yeah, I say yeah, I say hear me now, yeah. Na 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 na. Hey. Na 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 na. Since we repent now, since we get saved now, since we repent now, since we get saved now, this we used to go way down, got them no more. Things we used to do way down, do them no more. Friends we used to keep way down, keep them no more. Things we used to say way down, say them no more. Salvation, you know it's safe and secure. Jesus Christ, I and I, we adore. Then we excel every day, we are sore. Read the Bible and we feel so sure we get saved. Oh, la 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 la.
Yo, this is Bobby Johnson, and right now, while you kick back and relax on a Sunday night, 9 to 11 p.m., listen to West Indies Culture Shock on CJSF 90.1 FM with Nasty Jack Soul Crew.
Yes, Big yes, Nasty yes. Jack. Massive and Crew, it's all about CJSF 90.1 FM. Not broadcasting from on top of Burnaby Mountain, Simon Fraser University, but remotely producing this show from my home amidst what's going on in 2020 with this coronavirus pandemic. And previously, you've been listening to the man himself. I call him, and some people call him, the Christian Supercat. He's well educated, a whole heap of degrees under his name, originally from Jamaica, migrated to the US, and the man himself, a servant of the Most High, the man himself, Pastor Ricky. Hopefully everything right with the audio. Brethren, you there?
Yes, DJ David. I mean, Jason, good night.
Yes. Yes, man. Yeah, don't study the David. Yeah. Greetings, man. How are you doing today on this, I should say night?
Well, it's 8 p.m. here. And
right.
I'm giving thanks unto the Lord. God has been good to me. I can't complain. Just was blessed to release my second gospel album. As you know, I came on the scene last year, 2019. Been saved since 1994.
Mm-hmm.
But with respect to music, I just tried the music market last year, 2019.
That was your first year in the music, 2019?
Well, in the gospel, yeah. But right. Before I got saved, I used to be DJing in the dance hall.
All right, okay.
For 20 years. Yes.
Wow.
In the gospel, yes. My first time last year. So I didn't DJ for 26 years because I got saved in 1994. And I walk away from music and DJing.
Right. So you're involved in the dance hall and reggae aspect of DJing and stuff like that. And then you got saved in 94. And then what happened after that?
So after 94, I got involved in outreach ministries. You know, hunger for God, thirsty for God. So I was doing prison ministries, going into the prisons and the jails. Teaching Bible studies and preaching. Then I did homeless ministries, hospital ministries, nursing home ministries, street ministries. You know, we put our speakers on the street, turn up the amps and the mics and preach the gospel to those who are selling drugs and those who are drug addicts and prostituting themselves right there in the midst of the ghetto in Washington, D.C., you know, not too far from the White House. You know, we were preaching and so get saved, loose, delivered, and set free. Wrote a book. It's on Amazon, As the Lord Led Me. The title is Without Faith, It's Impossible to Please God. And then, you know, after getting saved, also went to Bible college for 5 years studying the Word of God. And then I went to earn a bachelor's in management and a master's in business, an MBA.
Wow.
And then I went to, School of Divinity and did a master's in divinity in seminary. And so, you know, just apply myself to studying the word and get acclimated with knowledge and education and academics. Because, you know, when we were growing up in the streets, we just wanted to hustle and sell drugs and DJ on sound system and in every dance hall, in every nightclubs, at the racetrack, chasing the women.
Right.
You know, doing everything we were out there doing.
Doing all the worldly things, right? We were attracted to
everything. We thought we were big and bad enough to do. Half my friends are deported. Some are dead. Some are in prison. Some run away. So if I didn't give my life to Jesus, I probably would have been in one of those categories. You know? But I thank God that the day Jesus said, okay, enough is enough, and I answered a call to serve him. And I've been on fire since then, blazing for the Lord.
Jesus, and it is.
I'm 1,000% sold out for Jesus. Jesus is the center of my heart, the center of my joy. He's my hope for tomorrow. He's my all in all, my everything.
Yes, man. Amen. And may I ask, was there a specific turning point that made you say, well, I done with this thing? Or what was that turning point? Were you just fed up of what was going on, or was it just a spiritual calling? Or could you put it in words?
Well, I thought I was just sick and fed up. Things were falling apart in my life.
Right.
My car transmission burned up. I had a little job and I got fired from it. Me and my baby mother just can't agree no more. You know, a lot of things were just almost went bankrupt. A lot of things were just falling apart. Even though we were hustling, people owe us money.
Right.
Couldn't pay us. Lied and said they lost our stuff or somebody stole it. So it's like, you know, things were getting rough for a moment. And you know, I was cross, angry, and miserable, according to Bunty Killer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I have no peace, and you're just miserable. And, you know, my mom, I would come in from the dance halls on Sunday mornings. The dance at 6, and by the time I get home, it's like 7, you know. And then by the time we lay down, 9 o'clock, the phone ringing, and my mom used to call me and invite me to church. And I was like, Mom, now I'm going to church. I'm going to church. And Mom, you know, pure hypocrite, that church. You know, you know, I'm not with no church. And, you know, I'm like, furthermore, the pastor, then I thief the money, and the, you know, I sleep with everybody in that church. I just told her those things so she can leave me alone.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't want to go to church. You
know? Right.
I had no evidence of what I was saying. I was just saying it so I, because I just wasn't feeling church, you know.
Right, right.
So, But then my baby mother, and you know, she would want me to go because everybody wanted to see me change because I was living a rough life. You know, twice I step over the dead bodies to come out of the dance hall.
Jeez.
When it got shot up. Yeah, and dances would always get shot up because you have man and man from Jamaica come, and them used to in a gang warfare and political warfare and turf warfare. So when they meet up here, it's like gunshot ablaze, and then you have two other youth half drunk. A man attack to him girl in a dance, and them get jealous and want to pull out them Glock. You know, it go. Yeah. So dance was a very tough place to be. Looking back now, back then we were enjoying it, loving it, but man, the amount of gunshot rain out
yeah, it wasn't safe to be.
Yeah, and it looked like my granny was praying for me before she died because she was a Christian.
Nice.
You know, she caught a stroke. Yeah, she caught a stroke when I was about six or so. So I never went to church because my mother and father. My father left Jamaica when I was six, and my mother left when I was five. So they entrusted me to grow up my granny and my aunt. But then my grandmother caught a stroke like a year or two later, and then my aunt was raising us, bless her heart. But she had two other children, and me and my brothers, well, I think it was a lot for her. So, you know, we just grew up in the street, the neighborhood, the community. So I was born in South Kingston, Fleet Street, living on Maiden Lane, Smith Lane. Then I moved with my aunt after my parents leave and lived in Franklin Town, down the street from, around the corner from Dunkirk. I live on Lacey Road with big sound named Soul Express. Was playing in the yard. So I met entertainers or artists as a little youngster because they were in the same yard every day with us. So I met like the great, I met Lone Ranger.
Wow.
The late Johnny Ringo.
Wow.
Welton Irie. Olad, Carlton Livingston. All these men was in my yard every day writing lyrics, vicing upon the sound system. But, you know, as little you, them want to give us the mic.
Right.
You know, but, so that's for what I look a piece of tree limb and go and practice and vice. You know what I mean? Yeah, so but up the street another son named Arrows with Puddy Roots them and Madu them used to play. So it's like I just grew up around sound system and in the garrison and near Dunkirk. So when I start going to Vauxhall now, next door to Dunkirk off of Wynard Road, I joined the school band, and that's how I start DJing and traveling with the school band throughout Kingston and DJing in different places and concert. And then I start getting good at it, and then I start DJing on some local sounds in the community. And then I moved to Vineyard Town between McGregor Gully and Jake's Road. You know, could I walk through the gully and through some bushes and I reach over Bank Bush over Mountain View Avenue. So I grew up around pure gangster and guns and violence and crime, and you know, so that was my life growing up in Jamaica. But then, you know, when I came to America, I met one of my uncle, Freddie Dredd, who have a big sound in Washington, D.C., where I live, called Emperor Sound. So it was on my uncle's sound now where my dancehall DJ career took off, because we were a big-time sound. And so when the sound systems came from Jamaica, like Afrique, Metro Media, Stone Love, Yard, Black Yard, Kilimanjaro, Sterigal, Sterimar, Sterowan, Jammies, you name it.
All the big guns.
And then each song came up, bring a whole slew of artists with them.
Jeez.
So we DJ with Ninja Man, them, Johnny P, them, Peter Metcher, Tonta Metcher, Ricky Stero, Papa San, Stitchy, Lady Star, Mama Nancy. We DJ with Super Cat, Nicodemus, Junior Demus. You know, we DJ with almost all of the artists that come from Jamaica. And them come here, Admiral Bailey.
Wow.
DJ, yeah. So my DJ career took off in the dance hall, but you know, the Lord interrupted and took me out of that darkness and brought me into His marvelous light and turned my life around, cleaned me up,
man.
And then, you know, changed me, transitioned me, renewed my mind through the reading of the Word of God. And just make me a better person, and I'm grateful. Praise God.
Well, your grandmother prayers didn't go in vain, boy.
Amen.
Jeez, that ages.
Bless Granny.
Bless God, rest her soul. Jeez, that ages. Of course, folks, you're listening to the man called Pastor Ricky. We're gonna talk about from his dancehall background to the Churchill, the album that he released last year in 2019 after doing all those ministries and that being saved in 1994 and then coming to the music. So of course, you're with your background in dancehall DJing and stuff like that, that more than likely led to you coming out and saying, well, I gotta release an album, I gotta release some songs for the ministry that I'm dealing with and for the Lord.
So what happened is my back was against the wall in 2017, and I was praying and I was like, Lord, I need a breakthrough. And you know, the Lord was saying, use your gifts. And I'm like, use my gifts? I'm like, Lord, I don't preach for money. So, and then the Holy Spirit said, write some music and DJ them. And I was like, so I was talking to the Lord, like, oh, man, y'all reason. I mean, I said, Lord, you know, church people now, but really, like, music. Beats them a mean were from dancehall years. They used to ring out the whole place and mash up the place and cause wall for beat and gunshot for legal shot. So I'm like, but the Lord say, put the gospel, put the message on the beats. You know? So I said, okay. Then I just said, so I called on my brethren, Father Lulu, who was an engineer on my uncle's sound system, and him give him about 300 beats, man, reggae beats. So my head swell, you know. And then because I haven't heard many of these beats in years.
Right.
You know, I walked away in 1994.
Right.
So
the mind's not a tick, boy.
Man, I'm telling you, I listened to all 300 beats. And then the Holy Spirit had me to pick out 15 tracks, 15 beats.
Wow.
I've written 15 songs, but I only put 10 on the album. And the other 5 songs, I just put them on the shelf. That one day I'll pull them on.
Why?
That's how that first album came about. But then when it was released, man, all the DJs went crazy.
Yeah,
boy. Everybody calling me for dub plays. And I didn't even know they had gospel clash, sound clash, DJ clash.
Right.
Like how we used to do it in the dance hall.
Back in the day.
Everybody wanted it. Yeah, everybody wants dub plates. So I made about 65 dub plates last year, man.
Wow.
June and December. Yeah.
Wow.
And I was literally in the studio almost every Monday doing dub plates and drops, you know. So that's how that came about. I still have 30 dub plates to do for my first album.
Jeez,
but
wow.
The studio's kind of... Because those beats from my first album are like foundation.
Yeah, right.
A lot of people love and cherish and
of course.
Know from before they got saved, you know?
So yeah.
They still love them. And then with my style of DJing, because we was hardcore and radical back in the days in the dance hall. So when I put my voice on the beats, it ignites a fire.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like, yo, we need this, man. Somebody said a couple of this, man, you came into the gospel music at the right time.
Yeah.
And I said, what do you mean? He said, because they got a couple of clash going on and they could use my dub plates. And I'm like, oh, Lord. You know, because when I first thought about doing music, I had no idea they were doing clashes and stuff.
Right,
you
know? Yeah.
So that's how that album materializing came about, you know. So the Lord just had me to write the lyrics. Went to the studios. As I said, I voiced 15 songs, but 10 of them I released on the album. And the title was From the Dance Hall to the Church Hall, because it speaks of my
your journey.
Progression.
Right.
My journey I'm coming from. Right. Even though I've been saved 26. At that time, I was saved 25 years. Now I'm saved 26 years because a year done passed already. So, to my surprise, that album did great. He was playing in 67 different countries. I did 51 radio interviews on that album.
Wow, I make it 52 now.
And I didn't win a Grammy, and it's not too late because those musics are still playing.
Yes, man.
And DJs are still playing them. So you never know what the future entails.
And what the Lord holds for you, right? Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, and those songs are their messages. They're all messages.
True.
It's like preaching in the pulpit, but now you're preaching on beats.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jeez, and it's just
a sermon on beats. It's powerful.
And you know, with many of us love that old school rhythm, as you said. And yeah. now with that last album in 2019, you have that substance that was missing, that lyrical substance, because before that we were listening to songs that were glorifying material things and ungodly things, and now you have the best of both worlds. You have the rhythm,
right,
which is right. you can't beat those original authentic rhythms with that. The praise in the Lord and just fits together like a hand in a glove.
Exactly. Yeah, and I was surprised to see how the DJs love it. The fans love. I went to Florida for a show last year, September, from last weekend would have made the first anniversary, and they never scheduled me to be on the stage. But they invited me and I was disappointed, but then it's so, because the people love the music, they've been hearing it on the blogs and the DJs playing it. I wind up selling 30 CDs and I never perform.
Wow.
People just love my music and just wanted to get my CDs.
Jeez.
And I was like, whoa, thank you, Jesus.
Yes, yeah. Man, amen.
But to God be the glory, then. That's a powerful album, and I would always love that album. Because of that album, now I was inspired now to do this next album, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dan, and this album is before we continue about this album. Now let me address. I was playing this, and I would say it myself too, as I introduced you. The Christian Supercat. Do you get that a lot?
Oh yeah, they call me the Gospel of Supercat, the Gospel of Supercat. I mean, Supercat, the Gospel. But the thing is, in the secular world, people say me and Supercat, BG and sound alike. Bless Supercat, he's an icon, a legend, you know, a big artist. I could never walk in his shoes, so I take it as an honor that people said that. But I think it's the style of DJ.
Right.
I learned to sit on pun rhythm like Lizard pun. I learned to just ride rhythm, you know?
Yes.
So it's not like these computerized beats that they're playing these days. These beats were studio made where man sit on a studio and the keyboard and the bass and the drums, you know, and the one drop and the reggae beat. So I learned that from the dancehall days, how to manage the rhythm. Sometimes, like a jockey, you slip out and you catch back.
And you come back in.
Yeah, man. So I learned that from a little youth, a DJ. So because of that style, you know, Supercat, them sit on pan rhythm.
Yeah.
Like how I do. So people say we're similar. And then one night in Washington, D.C., I would never forget, on 14th Street, there was a big dance and he was there. And so me and him was DJing, passing the mic hand to hand. And you know, in the dance hall, it's so dark. But some people said at one point they didn't know who was who. So ever since the 80s, yeah, man, people said I sound like the Don Dada. But, you know, I take it as an honor. To God be the glory.
Right. Jeez and ages. Now, take me to 2020, the brand new album. That was released August 10th, I believe.
August 10th.
Blessed to be a blessing. Take us to how you selected these tracks and how you decided amidst what's going on, let me release this album.
Well, you know, I'm a man of faith. I wrote a book called it Without Faith is Impossible to Please God. So I was supposed to drop this album in March.
Right.
At the studios. And right the same, I had booked the studio for March 21st, 2020, you know. And the studios everywhere just begin to shut down around March 15th, the week before. And I was like, so the engineer called me. I said, boy, the studio got closed because the governor say every business must close. And then his wife is scared. She don't want him to be out there because she don't want him to catch the virus. This is my cousin. He's the engineer. Hmm. Bless his heart. And, you know, I was like, so I said, cuz, I understand, you know, just whatever your wife said, mm-hmm. I agree, you know, we don't, because they have a little baby.
Right.
And you never know with this virus.
True.
So I was here for a couple weeks wondering, Lord, what am I going to do? Because I really want to drop this album because the music was, the lyrics was already written and bubbling up in my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this album is funny because last year in my first album, I would say about 30%, 3 in every 10 Christians bun me out and said, I bring devil music.
Really?
Music,
wow.
Church. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, at first I was offended and irritated, but
of course, yeah.
As the months grew last year, I kind of got over it. So I said to myself, okay, I want to do something different. I don't want to have the similar album. I want to reach a wider audience of people globally. So I'm thinking internationally, globally now.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to use different genres of beats. So
right.
So on that album, I have a Afro beat from a song titled Imamagadio. So I'm thinking of reaching people in Africa with
right.
that song.
Right.
Then I have a Calypso Soca beat. Everybody come give him the praise. That's on a Calypso Soca beat. And then I have a mental beat or a folk song beat. It's the same thing. And then I have a song on it called Give Him Worship. It's a collaboration. And then I have another song, a worship beat, where I'm doing a prayer for America. So I felt that this album is solid as a rock because it has different genres of beats.
It has something for everybody.
Everybody.
No matter exactly. Which part of the world you're from. Whether you're from exactly. the Caribbean or not.
Right. And so when I released this album and the engineer sent it to me after we dropped it in the studio in July, I said to myself, this is powerful. So I said, I felt in my spirit moving forward, this is how I'm going to do all the future albums. They're just going to have different genres of beats of different culture that people can relate to, but put the message of the gospel on it, you know?
Right.
And then with my style of DJing, I can handle any genre, you know? So I like this album, but the first album will always be dear to my heart because it's the very first one that launched me out. But I like the structure and the organization of this current album.
Right. And the versatility. The versatility is amazing in this album. It's, of course, it's called Blessed to Be a Blessing, Pastor Ricky. Tell us a little bit about how people can interact with you on the social media and how they can get in contact with you with all them digits and things.
Yeah, thank you. That's a great question. Mm-hmm. I am so on every platform you can think of. Right now, both albums are on over 150 digital platforms, including Spotify, Apple, Deezer, TikTok, Tidal, Pandora, Amazon Music, YouTube Music. I mean, iTunes, I'm everywhere. And then I'm on Radio Airplay. I'm on Urban Praise Radio. I'm on ReverbNation.com. Just type ReverbNation/Pastor Ricky. You can find me on UrbanPraise.com/Pastor Ricky. Radio Airplay /Pastor Ricky. I'm also on air now, /Pastor Ricky. And then some doors are opening now. I just got on a couple BDS radio stations that are licensed. Yeah, and my songs are going to be playing to get on a couple charts, including the Billboard charts in a few. You know, you'll probably see me place on a spot on the top 50 in the Billboard charts.
Wow. And, nice.
Yeah, my songs are going to be playing on a lot of platforms such as Kirk Franklin and William McDowell, Donnie McClurkin, Tasha Cobbs, you know. Yeah, so the Lord has been good to me.
Nice,
He's
man.
So opening doors. Yeah, and
all glory to him. All glory to him.
Amen. I'm working with a PR firm that's doing some marketing stuff for me even right